his word.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Glad to see everyone who can make it. Before I forget, Thursday, I'm going to be in Knoxville, and so there won't have any service this coming Thursday, so don't show up unless you just want to be here by yourself. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that we can come here and gather with believers, Father, just to set aside this time to approach you, to seek your face, to seek your voice, to hear what you have to say for us this morning. Lord, we believe that you are here. You promised to be here. Father, you don't bring us together just for a social gathering. You bring us together for a purpose, Lord. And help each one of us to find that purpose this morning, Lord. If it's to encourage us, if it's to heal us, if it's to chasten us, if it's to encourage whatever it is you want for us, Lord, help us this morning to find your perfect will. I ask that you would open up hearts to recognize, to hear, and to understand what you have for us, Lord. Increase our faith. Lord, there's many in here who need a touch for physical or for emotional or mental healing, whatever it is, Lord Jesus. Some of us just need to press on, Father. Whatever you have for us, Lord, let each one receive what you have. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you would like to read, we're going to read out of Malachi 4. Two verses, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll be seated. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. This is my favorite time of year. My. Get out there and it's warm and can do stuff. I like it. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. You may be seated. Still talking about the day of the Lord. I think I have this and maybe one more sermon on this, about the day of the Lord. And it says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And like I said, it's a great day for believers. It's a dreadful time for those who aren't believers. And it's just something that's going to be... Nothing like it. All of the evil that's heaped up down through the ages and all the goodness, and it's going to be one side or the other. And friends, we got to be on the right side of this, because it's going to be a terrible time for those who are left behind. So we all believe that Brother Branham was the coming of this Elijah the prophet. And that's what this is about. But recognize, he came to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. So that's not just about the prophet. This is also about the hearts of the children. Brother and sister, that's us. We are the children. He's turning them back. The message has come to turn the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers. That's what it was all about. It wasn't just come to have a prophet. What does he send a prophet to do? It's not just a, hey, there's a new prophet. There's a new person in the land. We have a great revival or something. There's always a reason behind it. And the reason behind sending this prophet was it's time to turn a corner. Excuse me. It was time for the church to turn a corner, because what had happened is ever since the day of Pentecost, back there soon after the crucifixion, is the church had rose up and they had gone for a while, and then Satan got in there and caused them to hybrid the word and denominate, and they go off into a denomination and die. And God raises up another person, and he comes with more light, and they go off that way for a while, and then they denominate and go off and die. And that's the way it's been all the way since the day of Pentecost. In every church, you have a person rise up, and it's a new revival, and you get a new church, and you get new light. But then what happens, Brother Branham said, is when they have this light, and they know they got something's precious, and they know this is from God, and they say, oh, we got to protect this so that we don't get corrupted like all the other churches before us. And as soon as you write it down and put your period after it, that's when you die. That's the problem, is because God does not want you to get everything right and just, well, we got it all figured out. Let's sit here in our pews now until we go in the rapture. That's not going to happen. His plan is you always are going forward. There's always more light. There's always more to see. There's always more interpretation of the word. And that's why we see so many people around the message who all they do is listen to tapes. Why? Because it makes them feel safe. They want to keep the message on a tape. They want to keep just the prophet saying it because then they feel, I know it's true because I have confidence in him. I know he told the truth. And so we'll just listen to him instead of letting that word come off there and live in human beings and produce what the purpose of the message was for. That's what it was for, is so that we could become what we need to be, so we could turn a corner. Instead of just going on in the same old program of you get some truth, you listen to it, you believe it, and you put your period. We've got it all. We got it all figured out. We got all the truth there is to have. And you can ask the vast majority of message believers, that's exactly the attitude they have. Friends, God never brought us that message to keep it on a tape or a book. He brought that message so that the bride could step out of that same old way of doing things and be prepared for this great and terrible day of the Lord. That's what he sent Elijah before that time, so that we'd be prepared. It's time to turn a corner. It's about us. It's about us. I sometimes wonder, do we recognize what God called us to? Do we recognize what our job is? Do we recognize why we're here this morning? Do we recognize the purpose of the message? It's not just to become another good group of people. Oh, we're a good group of people. We love each other. People come here and they can feel comfortable. And that's not the reason he called us for. You are not put on this earth just to have another church. You are put on this earth to fulfill the word for the bride in this day so he could take us in a rapture. That's the reason why. Anything else, you might as well just go off into another church and sit there and be a nice person. Oh, he called you to be a nice person, but that's not going to get you in the rapture. I have a really good friend I work with, and he's just such a good guy, and he's a very, very devout Christian. He says, all God requires is just be good to people. Do things for other people. That's all he requires. And the sad part is, for some people, that is true. Because that's all that God requires. And maybe they're a penny or a nickel or a dime. And you know what? All that God wants you to do is just be a good person. Be nice to people. Help people out. Live for others. But he didn't call the bride for that reason. He called the bride to let the word come. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get excited. I'm going to try and calm down. He called us to have the power of God, just like at Pentecost. He wants the power of God in your life. He wants to do something with you that other people say, oh my goodness, look at the power in this life. Look at this person. Look what they can do. Not because we're trying to show that we got power, but we can show Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he could heal back then, he can still heal today. If he could save back then, he can still save today. Otherwise, he's changed. And if you're serving a God who changed and throw him away, he ain't any good. Who wants to serve? Well, I was this way, but you know, I think I've become better. You think God improves? If God can improve, then well, how do you have any confidence he was right back then? He doesn't improve. He's always known everything. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He knows it all. He never had a better idea of the way to do something. Isn't that something? He didn't change the way he thinks. He wants to change the way we think. But what Brother Branham say? He said, the problem is we get too busy. We got too many things to do. We got too many TVs to watch, too many movies, too many ball games to go to, instead of laying quietly and let him beat it out of us. No one wants to get beat out. That's why there's so very few people who really are really sincere about pressing on and going all the way, because it's just hard on this old flesh. At least it's hard on mine. I hope it's hard on yours. If it's not, you got a problem. We're here to turn this corner, friends. And just so many people they did when the prophet came, and they came out just like Israel came out of Egypt, right? They turned a corner. Israel came out and there was time to move. It's a new thing. God is doing something new. And they came out. But what did they do? Because it wasn't the way they wanted it, in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. They went right back to the denominational system they came out of, even though they sat in a message church. They're still sitting in the same church, right? They never went back physically to Egypt, but their hearts did. And that's what we do when we take this message. Well, I'm a good person. I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything is just fine, and I'm going to the rapture someday. And we don't keep pressing on. Oh, what happens? The gospel is the greatest attraction this earth has. It is. It's what your prophet said. So then where's the attraction? What's happening? Why do we come to church so many times and just kind of sit here? Sometimes we can't even get to church because we've got other things going on. But we come and we sit here, and where is this attraction? What is it? The attraction is supposed to be the fulfillment of the word. That's what it's supposed to be. But what happened when the prophet came, he had the first pull and the second pull, and it was about signs and wonders, and people got so attracted to that. And that's still their attraction, because when the word comes, there's a voice after that, and they don't want to hear the voice because the voice makes you change. And so they're just attracted to the signs and wonders and the miracles. Well, let me ask you this. What if Brother Branham was here preaching this morning? How full would this church be? You couldn't have got in this morning. Well, where are they at? See, the attraction was just to the first and second pull, because the same voice that spoke through Brother Branham is speaking this morning. So where's the attraction? Can I just say, I hate saying this. I'm going to have to say it. God put it on my heart to say it this week. He said, we got people here who are withering away. They're not pressing on. What happened? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when you don't have the joy of the Lord anymore, then you get weak. David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Why? Because that's your strength. When you come to church and you know you're going to hear from God, and you know you're going to be with your brothers and sisters, and you're going to be in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can do anything he wants to. But when it's not there, and then if we're a little weak, we just get a little bit lukewarm and lackadaisical and lethargic and say, well, maybe I'll go to church today. I don't know. What are we looking for? What's the attraction? Why did you come this morning? Everyone came for a reason. Why did you come? Just to have church? Friends, if that's all we are, then we are just like every other church. Where is Christ? Where is the fulfillment of the word? Where is the attraction that is, I am so in love with him that I can't wait to get with his people? Maybe some of it, the problem is that some of us in here don't create that kind of atmosphere. Maybe people don't want to be around us because we aren't that fun to be around. I'm not talking about fun. I'm talking about I don't feel the love. It's just like, well, this group is over here and this group is over here and we do this and they do this and we just like, where's Christ? No wonder people are getting lukewarm. The gospel loses attraction. We're missing the point of the message. The point is so that Jesus Christ could be in you in such a power, such a life, such a love. Whatever they say about Brother Branham, they said he could disagree with you bitterly, but you always knew that he loved you. Who's guilty of that? My, my. Let me move on. Brother Branham says this. Every true sign of God is followed by the voice of God. Now, if a man gives a sign in the country at any time, and that voice that he speaks behind that isn't the word of God, then watch it. Don't believe it. If it's the same old school, if a man gets up and shows a sign from God, and then the man's teaching is the same old theology you've had all these years, God never sent that sign. Look back in the scripture and see if it was. Search the scripture. We can have message believers as they get up and they perform signs and miracles and all this stuff going on. And yet they turn around and say, just listen to the tape. Just follow the tape. Just do this. Just do that. And they're not going on with the word for our day. And all you can do is point back to what God did through the prophet 50 years ago. I'm sorry. God never sent that sign. I don't care how much anointed by the Holy Spirit he is. The voice keeps you moving forward. The voice keeps you pressing on. The voice keeps you enthused. The voice brings you the joy of his salvation. For those who are willing to be listening to it, who those who are willing to be chastened by it, for those who are willing to let it knock all this world and all the attractions out of it and be attracted just to Christ. You know what it takes. It's called a birth. My. God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. That's the same old theology. You're going right back to Egypt. What about it? Why did he send a prophet? What is this word supposed to accomplish? We get educated. We know everything the prophet said. So does the devil. Where is Christ? Where is that something that someone comes here and they say, man, I just want what I see there. Where is the saltiness? Where is that attitude? Where is that love? That, you know what, Brother Paul, I think you're so wrong. But my goodness, I love you anyways. Let's go have lunch. Where is that attitude? Message believers are, Brother Paul, you're so wrong. Until you get right on, we'll have nothing to do with you. My. He said, if it's the same old school you've had, why would he give you a sign? You're already in it. If he's got you going to the church, he wants you, why would he send a prophet with the sign to get you out of it? He said, no, you're good, just stay there. So what's the sign for? Can I read you something? If you want to turn to Revelation 18, you can, but I'm not going to wait for you just to save time. Revelation 18:1, it says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And we know very well that this is talking about organized religion. It started in the with Nicaea, with the Catholic Church organizing, and it's gone down in every church age ever since. There's a messenger rise up and there's a move of God, but what do? They go right back to the same mess they came out of. And he's saying this has come to all to the end where it's completely revealed, and all the most hateful evil spirits and all the evil in the world is found in her. And we know also that it's just not in her. She had daughters, which are all the Protestant denominations. They're the same evil spirit, all that darkness, all that hatefulness, all that come up. And that's why he sent a prophet and said, come out of her. Because what does he say next? I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. That's what it came for. That's what the voice was. Come out of that mess. Don't stay in that. Praise the Lord. Where would we be without that message? Where would we be without the prophet? We'd still be in that, thinking we're fine. He called a bride out. Come out. Don't stay in that. And brother and sister, just because you're sitting in a message pew don't mean you're still not in it. This is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. Now, you probably were going to come out of there physically too, but brother and sister, you can sit here with the most denominational spirits clinging all over to you. According to what you love. He said, if it's the same old school you've had, why would he give a sign? You're already in it. He's trying to get you to that corner. It's a stop sign. Slow down. Look where you're going. You'll dump yourself off at the corner if you don't watch. There's a sharp curve. It's always a sign there before you make this curve to keep you from wrecking up. Ain't that amazing? He sends a sign and says, now, careful, listen up. I'm going to give you a voice, and this voice is to turn the corner here. Well, I'm just fine. I don't need no sign. And you hit the corner, and you know what? You're just flipping all over the place. I know I did that once in a car. Going around a curve too quick, went right off the side, hit a tree, flipped my car completely over. Didn't get hurt, thankfully. The person with me got a little hurt. That's what happens. That's why the sign is here, friends. That's why so many times people come to this church and they're going to see things around here and they see a work of the Holy Spirit. It's like, it's like, hey, what's going on? What is this? What's going on? What is this attraction? What is this around here? Why do you have to preach like this? Why do you have these signs of wonder? Why do you have the power of God here? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Sometimes it isn't in your life. He allows you to go through something. He allows you to go through a hardship. He allows you, the preacher, to say something that messes you up. He allows all these kind of things in life. Why? To slow us down and say, hey, where are you going? Watch where you're going. He gives us these signs. All of a sudden we go through a hard time. He says, I need you to turn a corner in your life. I need more out of you. I want more than just the religion you're offering. I want more than just what you do for me on Sunday. I want all of you. I want your whole life. I want you surrendered to me so that I can take you and use you to fulfill my word. Because I've chose you. That's what it's for, friends. It's not just to have silence. Oh, we got silence. We heal the sick. We raise the dead. We cast out demons. That's not what it's for. When you don't see so much of that, sometimes I go through dark times, a desert time, and you see people start dwindling and withering. Why? Because they're only attracted to that. A good road builder gives signs. We're traveling the road to glory. And if the sign speaks the same old thing, it wasn't from God. God gives signs to attract the attention of his people. Signs are to attract the attention of God's people. What's it attracting it for? God is going to speak by his promised word. He must send his prophet, for the word come to the prophet. The Bible said so. God said himself that he does nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophet, first. And then the sign is given and the scripture is identified. That's the voice of the sign. There's got to be a voice with it. Not just pointing to the same old thing. Remember Israel's journey. Do you know all the farther they came? They're only 40 miles, about 40 years doing it. It's because they began to murmur against the voice that had produced the sign. That's where you lose people. That's where people fall away. That's where people dwindle, because they don't want to hear the voice that comes with the sign. Because the voice hurts. Because the voice chastens. Because the voice shakes you up, it shucks you down. It gets you to a point that if you accept it, it's like, I've got to change, I got to surrender, but I don't want to. You say, well, I do, Brother Phil. No, you don't. Your flesh doesn't want to. Your heart does, but your flesh doesn't. If it did, there would be no chastening. Without chastening, you're just a bastard-born Christian. That's what the Bible says. That's not my word, it's his. He said they began to murmur and wanted to do something different. This is just too hard, Brother Phil, the way you and Brother Jerry preach, and we want something different. Why don't you just relax? Why don't we get a basketball team? We don't have enough people. Let's get a debate society. We can do something to attract people to church. I mean, goodness sakes, there's a dozen people in here. Sure, we can get more people than that. We need to find a different attraction, because a voice ain't enough anymore. If you ever go into a church where they use something else besides the gospel to attract people, you're in the wrong place. It's true. Tired of the same old walk. Tired of the same old manna. Every day it's just manna, Moses. Can we have something besides manna all the time? It's just manna, and it's manna, and we got to get it new every day. I gathered a whole 3 gallons of manna so I don't have to go out tomorrow and do it, and by the morning it's got worms in it. Goodness sakes, why do I have to go to church every Thursday and every Sunday and go to church and read my Bible and pray? Goodness sakes, isn't there something more to this than that? Yes, there is. It's called a rapture if you just keep doing it. There is something more to it. But what is the attraction? What is the reason you come? My. He wants to get you out of the same old rut. He called us to get out of the same old denominational rut. And yet, so many Methodist believers, that's where we're going, because we never saw the attraction. We never saw the word for your day attracting the people. Brother Branham preached that message, attraction. What is the attraction on the mountain? He said, here comes Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And all these people are following him and saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And the people, the Pharisees are standing around saying, what is this? What's all this noise? What's the attraction? Here's what's amazing about it. Those people who are shouting and laying down their palm fronds and their clothing and doing have this big, they were fulfilling the scripture that said he's going to come to you riding on a donkey. And they were fulfilling the scripture without knowing it. How many times does it say in the Gospels, they did this and then later they realized what they had done. And they did this to fulfill scripture and later they realized what they had done. Brother and sister, that's what we're doing a lot of right now. We're fulfilling scripture, and the reality is some people are fulfilling the wrong scripture, because some people are falling away because they're going to be a great falling away. Other people are fulfilling the scripture that said you're walking on into light. Sometimes we don't even realize what we're doing. Isn't that amazing? You know, those same people who are Some of those same people were shouting, hey, here he comes. He's Hosanna. He's the king of Israel. Here he's coming in. He's going to take over. And a few days later, they were the same ones saying, crucify him. He ain't the kind of Messiah we wanted. Same people. And how many people today, they say, oh, we had a prophet, and I'm a message believer, but I don't want that kind of message. And they're saying crucify him because they're crucifying him afresh, just like the Bible said, putting him to an open shame because they're not allowing the message of the hour to have the effect it was supposed to have, which is produce Christ in us. Instead of that, they just want to feel safe in their pew and say, I'm a message believer. Everything's just fine. I believe what the prophet said. Brother David's back there. He made a comment. He said he heard recently a man was preaching about, and Brother Branham said, all that you love will be there. He said, I'm not going to question it. And here's what I thought. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Well, how many message believers say, I love the prophet, I'm going to be there, but they don't do what he said. And here's what struck me. That horse and that dog, they believe the prophet more than, they love the prophet more than those people, because when Brother Branham say, Fritz, sick him, he'd go tree that coon. He did what the prophet said, but the people won't do what the prophet said, and yet they say they love him. Yeah, that horse and that dog are going to stand on judgment day and condemn those people because I did what the prophet said. It's ridiculous. Like I said, Thursday, well, the prophet said that. He said, when you don't do what you're told to do, you don't do what you're supposed to do, he said, you paralyze God's program. And if God asks you to do something, you don't do it, first of all, you personally are paralyzed, and you're going to affect the entire church because you bring a wrong spirit in here. And you sit in here with that wrong spirit, and God's got to kick that thing out and move that thing out. And ask Nate about leading the song service when you first get in here sometime. You're like wading through deep mud trying to get all the spirits out of here. Why? Because people don't have enough respect to come prayed up. They don't have enough respect for God. They're going to come into his presence, sit there with all that crap, that junk on your head, all that stuff, all that stuff that we bring with us. Well, I'm having a hard time, Brother Phil. Well, praise the Lord. What are you crying about? You're supposed to be having a hard time. God ordained that trial for you. Do you conduct yourself with joy in the midst of your trials, or do you conduct yourself with whining and feeling sorry for yourself? My. We are so close to the most amazing thing that's ever happened to a group of people. God is going to take us who are part of the bride, and he's going to do something for us, a short, powerful work that you're going to just astound at the power of God, and then he's going to take you out of here. Well, my boss said something I didn't like, so I feel justified in having a bad attitude. Hey, I'm not belittling your trials, friends. We all, and Satan's got more ammunition to use against us than he's ever had. And we have more demons to fight, and we have more darkness to wade through. We have more going on because all the evil is heaped up here at the end. But at the same time, all the righteousness is heaped up here too. You have access to everything that God has for you. Let me go a little further. Brother Bransby, he says, I just trust the future to him. I don't know what it is. I just trust it to him. You've seen him vindicate his word, so you know it's going to be done. His word. You say, Brother Branham, how do you do that? He said, well, let me give you some thought here for a minute. Do you know what a symphony is? I know you do. It's music. It's a drama. See, they act it out. So now he said, the scripture is God's symphony. So this is God's symphony, his music. All right? Now he's using the symphony to illustrate what it is he's talking about as far as following the word. He said, only the composer knows what it really means. So y'all listen to symphonies. Some of you, does anybody here like symphonies, by the way? Some of us do. Some of us don't. Some of the people, oh, that's just screeching violins. Oh, my goodness, it just annoys. Other people, you hear it, and you're like, that's very inspiring. It's soothing. It's calming or whatever, you know. Like you ever hear Handel's Messiah? That That is so, was what the reason you, when you had the Hallelujah chorus, when the first time it was being played, I think it was the King of England, I'm not sure which king, but when he was so inspired, he just stood up because it's so great. And because the king stood up, everyone else had to stand up. And so from that time on, the tradition is anytime you play that, everyone stands up. Just that's where it started because it was so inspiring. Someone else listened to that and say, man, I want to hear some banjos or whatever, right? Because they're not attracted to that kind of music. Now, I'm not preaching you need to like symphonies. Don't get me wrong with that, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But he's using the symphony. He said only the composer knows what it really means, and he reveals it to those who are listening, who are interested in knowing what the drama is. So here we come back to, are you interested in what's going on or what God is doing? Are you just like, I'm just here to go to church? It's just a noise. Brother Phil, you're just a noise. I'm just tired of you up there spitting and yelling. Why don't you just calm down and talk to us nicely? Because you're just noise. Can't wait to get out of here so he can go eat. He said, those who are interested in knowing what the drama is, are we losing interest? Are we getting lethargic? Are we getting lukewarm and like, well, Brother Phil, I had something else to do, and I didn't feel like reading my Bible. What's the attraction? He said, but you have to know about a symphony first. It's not just something you see. It's the changing, the junction of the music. It throws sometimes, it goes this way for a while. A certain beat, after a while, it changes all around. What is it? To you who wouldn't understand it or don't know nothing about it, not interested in it, it's just a racket. It's a fuss. But to those of you who know about it, you're watching for it, they know it's coming. They know the changes are coming. You can read the sheet music and say, oh my goodness, something's coming up. We're coming to a crescendo. We're coming to something that's supposed to be happening. And so you're watching and you're praying and you keep your eyes on the music to see what's going to happen next. But if you don't know how to read the music, what good does it do? Brother Paul, do you know how to read music? I'm going to pick on you. You don't know how to read music? Okay, do you know what this means? Squiggly lines, right? Do you know what that means?
I know a little bit.
A little bit?
Just a little.
If you don't know music, you look at this and say, that doesn't mean anything to me. Right? But if you can read music, you say, oh, okay, that's the beat per measure. This is the key we're going to play it in. This is the clef we're going to play it in. This means we're going to rest here. We're going to play a longer note here. We're going to play a shorter note here. And you can read that just like you're reading English. But if you don't know music, what good is, that's just a bunch of mess. If this word hasn't been revealed to you, if the message hasn't been revealed to you by Jesus Christ personally, it's just a mess. It's just another set of rules to follow. It's just another doctrine to believe. It's just another church to go to. It's just a fuss. He said the symphony of God's great drama that he's playing, it changes him, his symphony at the junctions. The composer and those who are interested, listening for the change. That's what all this stuff is to us. We're listening, we're watching. Every time he appears, something happens. We see the time getting close. Every time he appears. Well, what appearing are we looking for right now, brother and sister? Hopefully you're looking for it in the mirror. And you're looking forward to your brothers and sisters. Every time he appears in Brother Jimmy, every time he appears in Brother David, every time he appears in Brother Jim, every time he appears in Sister Mina, you see it and you know something's happening because we're seeing more and more and we're getting closer and closer. And it's a junction, and it's a building up, and it's a building up, and the drums are beating louder, and the horns are playing louder, and everything's coming to a junction. And we're sitting here, and someone else is going, wish he'd get done preaching so we could go. I'm not talking naturally, I'm talking spiritually. Because you see, there's something right here. And Brother Phil, what about the trials? What about when you can't hear from? What about when you're going through a desert and you just can't get a hold of God, and there's no spirit around, and you just go, well, you know, I just feel so dead, and I feel like I'm drying out in the desert. What does that have to do with it? What does the word say about it? He says he puts you through these fiery trials on purpose. He does it on purpose to see if you're going to wither away because of your feelings. Or if you're going to press on because you know right past this desert, there's another fountain. My. Sometimes those fountains seem long ways between, don't they? Sometimes it seems like it's been a long time since I had a good drink of water. Sometimes it seems like a long time since God just came down with me and just dwelt for a while. And you say, God, why don't you come? Why are you so far away? Why do you stay so far away? You know what I'm talking about? You ever have that? I hope you do. It's testing your faith. Do you believe what he told you? Or you're just going, well, I don't feel anything, so I'm going to just get discouraged and wither up. You have to hear him speak to you. It's revelation. That's him telling you something. And when you're going through this and all, and you can't be near, the sun is beating hard, and you don't feel any water, you don't feel any presence, what do? You look for the last time he talked to you. You say, what did he say then? What did he tell you? Do you believe it? Do you get discouraged? You think Abraham ever got discouraged? God told him you're going to have a son, then he went off for several years and just let him walk. You think he didn't get discouraged? He got so discouraged, he got up and left. He did. God said, go here, you're going to have a baby. He said, I don't know about this, I'm getting out of here. Of course we get discouraged. But you know where he didn't get discouraged? It was right here in his heart where the revelation had anchored. This is where he didn't get discouraged. And if we can get all this cleared up here, then this can come out and manifest itself. And after a while, you know what God does? This is exciting. He turns around and says, see, you were a believer anyways. You didn't even think you were, but you were a believer anyways because I had anchored something in your heart and that seed come to life. And you were born because you were birthed by the word. And boy, you feel like such a backslider and you do this and you do that and you're just like, and then one day God stops and says, listen, you're still my child. I know you don't feel like it right now. I know you've done some things you shouldn't have done, but I still love you and I am not going to let Satan get you. I chose you for a purpose. Some of us just need that revelation. Chose you for a purpose. What is your purpose here? Everyone has a purpose. Let me finish here. He's speaking still about the symphony. He says, John and Jesus can be here at the same time. John looked up, he said, now I must decrease, he must increase. He's the vindicated light. So will this light move on until he would find the full vindication comes. Now what did Brother Branham say? He's come to a point, he said, now this time, this other one takes, and he said, I must decrease so that he can increase. What is it? People starting to look, well, Jesus Christ is going to come walking down the street in the flesh body. He did. It's called the bride. And that bride is going to come, that vindication, that full light is going to come, and it's going to be in the bride. It's not going to be in one man named Jesus Christ. It's going to be in Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's where the vindication comes. That's where the light comes. He said, He is as he was at the beginning. That's how you start. How you start learning about God. What did he do when he was here on earth? What kind of life did he live? Did he agree? Was he a compromiser? Did he go to the organizations? How did he identify himself? That's the same thing he does now. He said, search the scriptures and then you think you have eternal life and they are the ones that testify on me. It's the same today, brother and sister. If you want to know where you're at, if you want to see Christ, search the scriptures and see what he did when he came before. He's doing the same thing today. He's fulfilling the word. He said, see, that's the thing today or any other time. When you want light, see what the scripture says for this hour. If you're getting discouraged, if you're losing the attraction, if something's like withering away, find out what the light is supposed to be, and there's your attraction again. When you see God's Spirit fall upon people and do a certain thing, you look back and see where it's at. See if that's it, if that's the thing for today. Just because you can have the Spirit fall on you, just because you can have signs and wonders doesn't mean you're the light. Isn't it amazing? He said, now they had a sheet in their hand, a music sheet. What would they do? They were trying to look back to a beat that a portion had already been played out. That's what the churches do today. They look back. See what part Luther played, the Lutherans does. They don't know the changes of the music. They don't know what God's doing today when he does these things. The Lutherans, the Pentecost say, oh, we got it. You got a sheet that played out 50 years ago. Let's just keep this word in our hands and watch when the changes come. Then we'll know what we're doing. And here's what the churches do. You look back and say, well, God fulfilled this word and we know it was God. And so we got it. We're good to go. But you go back and do the same thing and play it over and over. It's like if you practice for music. Let's say you had to play a concert or something and you got one sheet done and you go to the band instructor and say, I got this sheet right here. He said, well, go play the next one. But I'm good at this. Let me just stay on this. I got this figured out. He said, you got to play the whole thing. And that's why churches die, because they got this sheet figured out and they just play on this thing over and over, because we know this much is right. And they're right. It was right. But if you stay there when it's time to move forward, then you die. What did Jesus say? He said, if I had not come, you would have had no sin, because they were walking in the light that they had. But when further light came and they stayed in the same old thing, that's when they died. You cannot stay in the same thing you had a year ago. You cannot stay in the same thing you had 20 years ago. You got to keep walking in the light, what God wants for you as an individual. Otherwise, you just play on the same old thing all the time. That's not what God called us to do. Say, well, I know I'm born again, Brother Phil. 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I got the new birth. That's wonderful. And you needed it. But if you really got the new birth, you're not still sitting on that. What has God done in you now? What is he doing now? Because a baby is born, you don't just lay there in the crib. He starts growing, and it's time to crawl after a while, and then it's time to walk. He's trying to get us to be adults. That's why we keep changing as we go forward. Amen. All right, let me finish here. Oh, man. Got so much to do. This is it. Many people ask why. Sometimes they ask me why. Why must these things happen? Why this happened to me? Boy, we could all sit there for a while, couldn't we? The things that we've gone through. Why did this have to happen? Why did we have the loss? Why do we have the trouble? Why do we have the splits? Why do we have all this stuff going on? We're a good bunch of people. We're Christians. Why can't we just have a church here like everyone else has a church? He said, well, Dixon's had a church for the last 60 years or 50 years, whatever. So surely we're good. Ask Brother Jim about that. He's been around since Message Church has been in Dixon. Ask how many issues there have been. How many churches have started. How many false preachers came through and tried to rise up and do something. Just because we've been a long time doesn't mean we're right at all, friends. Look at the history of the church. Look at the history of the Catholic Church. Look at the history of the Lutherans and all the churches down through. Look how many people they persecuted. Look how many people they killed. Well, I've been a message believer for 50 years, Brother Phil. God don't care about your seniority. He doesn't. He said, what have you done lately? What's going on now? You say, well, I've been a member of this church since the 1960s. That's good. But a lot of those churches were completely a mess. Brother Jim will tell you about it. He's been here longer than anyone else was watching this going on. He's told me some stories. I'd curl my hair if I had any. It ain't about how long you've been here. You know the parable Jesus said, you know, the workers went into the field and they worked all day. And at the very last hour, some people went in there and worked just a short time, and he paid them all the same. And the people have been here a long time. So, well, that ain't right. I've been a message believer for a long time. And he said, I don't care. It's mine to give. If I want to give salvation to this person, I'll give him salvation at the last minute. I don't care if you've been working in the field for the last 50 years. I'll save who I want to save. Who are you to decide? Why did these things happen to me? Why did I start and this happened and I had this trouble here and this upset me here and I lost this here? He said, sometimes I've asked why. Why, when I was just a young minister and first started out, did God take my wife right out from under me, take my baby right out from under my heart? Why did he do that? He said, I didn't know, I do now. I just held my hand in his and kept trusting. Friends, he knows every junction. He knows the rhythm, when it must take place. He knows that what it takes to mold you. He knows what kind of material he's going to use. The backside of the desert sometimes when God molds righteous men to sages and prophets. There's where men are beat out. Men are beat out in the Word. When they get all kinds of creed and stuff in them, let them come to the Word and God beats it right out of them, molds it right into this, into the great symphony of His Word. And then they see the Word moving on. That's what He's doing. That's why you go through the trials. That's why you've had the losses. That's why you had the things. Sometimes you're almost losing your mind and you're losing your health and all this kind of stuff going on. Why? You see this church dwindling. You see that thing going on. And you see this going on around the message. And you look around and say, what is going on around here? It's just the junctions in the music. If you just stay in the Word, God just beats it out. And He says, okay, this is what's going on. And sometimes you go through things, I don't understand. Why do I have to be going through this? Why does this have to happen? Why is this happening in the church? Why is this happening in my health? Why is this happening in my job? Whatever it is. If you just stay, keep your hand in His and let Him lead you and just stay in the Word and stay walking, pressing on, He'll take you through it. He promised to do it. Because there's a seed in you that's going to be saved. He has chosen you. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. He gets to pick. He gets to choose. You have to accept. Because He can call to you and call to you, but if you don't accept the call, you're not going to be there. But if there's a seed in you that can't help it, you're going to accept the call whether you wanted to or not. He might have to beat you for years, but you're going to come. Brother Branham's talking about the woman at the well. He said, you know, those priests down at the temple, light shined and flashed across their path, and they rejected it. Oh, we don't want this light. We want a Messiah according to our own taste. We want a message according to our own taste. He said he was talking to the woman at the well, living with all those guys, just totally messed up life. Light struck across her path, and she said, ah, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I wanted. That's always been what that satisfies the thirst that's been in my life, my whole life, in my heart. That's what, so many times, brother and sister, that's what happens is He finally gets you to a point where He can flash the light and you see it and you know it's for you. And you come to the place where you're done running. You're done fighting. You're done resisting. And He didn't let you go. Look at all the people He let go. I want you to do something for a second. Just think, in the last 20 years, how many people used to go to this church? Some of your kids, some of your family, some of your friends, and they were message believers. And where are they now? It tears you up, doesn't it? I hope it does. Then why didn't you leave with them? Why are you here this morning? Because you're so smart. Because you're so spiritual. Because you just had faith. Why did you stay? Through all the trials and all the hardship, why are you still here? When so many people are gone. Because He's going to have a bride. It's been prophesied. And there's going to be someone in this age is going to believe it. And they are going to be that bride. And I believe I'm speaking to some of them right now. And I believe I'm part of it too. You know why I think that? Because I live such a good life. Because I know so much more than anybody else. Because I'm a preacher. It's ridiculous, ain't it? You know why I believe that? Because He told me who I was. He revealed it to me. And that's something I can stand on. Isn't that good? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you for being patient this morning. You guys were pulling. It was good. I really made it easy to preach. I appreciate that. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can come this morning and just have You come and speak to us, to encourage us, to just be drawn closer to You. Lord, let this word anchor deep. Let it sink deep into good ground and bring forth life. Let it answer the questions that people have. Let it prick someone's heart in a way that causes them to think and to wonder and to press on to find out what you have for them, each one of us. And Lord, a little bit ago, I said there's people here who are withering, they're dwindling away, and they're just getting less and less interested. But Father, you give it as a warning, not to tell them that they're lost, but as a warning, say there's still time. Find the attraction. Find something that's worth living for. Because without you, Christ, there's nothing worth living for in this world. There's nothing. Move upon us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord, with your presence. Speak to each heart, Lord. Let it hear. Bless us now as we worship you for a little while, Lord, and just receive our praise, Lord. We ask this in your name.